Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy, Joe, Brian's here as well. What are your overreactions to week one of the NFL season? 713-780-ESPN.
Aaron Rodgers is back.
Oh! Okay.
There's some stuff that you can see how he does look slow at times, right? Like there was moments in the game where I was like, okay, he's gonna get out of this. He's gonna roll out and have a vintage Aaron Rodgers play, but he's getting sacked. But he looked
he's back and better than ever.
He's back. He's back. He's at his best since he left Green Bay, at least.
I think I'm buying this though.
Same.
Like the Jets defense is supposed to be good. They have a defensive-minded head coach. You think that he would be limited a bit. Also, like, part of the argument as to why, like, I agree with you on this, he finished 2024 pretty strong. Mm-hmm. His second half of 2024 was pretty good. He still got up to, what, like 4,000 yards last year? Like, his numbers last year, numbers alone, and, you know, stats and football, we get it. His numbers weren't bad last season at all. So,
especially second half.
Yeah. Once he got, and we always hear too, the Achilles, the second year, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm actually buying this one.
And at his age, if it took him even a little longer to get his Achilles like back and going, do you believe in more in Aaron Rodgers or Justin Fields from that game?
See, Fields look pretty dynamic too, though, because it's kind of like, here, this is an offense that is suited for you, and we're going to let you just run wild and mm-hmm. do the things that you're good at. He actually looked pretty good as a thrower. Like, I actually liked both of them.
Yeah, I did
now,
too.
Are both of their defenses just terrible and we don't know it yet? I think that's likely. But no, I thought that they both looked good. That was like the best quarterback going back and forth other than Lamar and Josh Allen.
It was a great game.
Which one do you think is more sustainable?
Well, neither.
I feel like both might get hurt. They both have injury problems. I mean, if you go back and watch like why Justin Fields got drafted where he did, 80% of the throws it feels like are to Garrett Wilson. Like there's something there.
I don't have a problem with that.
Back when they were together at Ohio State, that I'm like, I kind of believe in this. And then the other thing with the Jets, I think sets the Steelers apart, and I know a texter is unhappy with me about being very pro Caleb Johnson for the Steelers, because yes, he also bumped me out as well. But the Jets have Braylon Allen, they have Breece Hall, they've got a running game that like really supports mm-hmm. Fields. So I still got a big love for him. So I'm probably a little biased.
The thing with Fields though is if he's going to run a lot, that makes you prone to hits, and hits stack up. And he's kind of, I mean, he's missed games in the past. Mm-hmm. Like Israel saying that Aaron's old behind's going to run out of gas by week 7. He doesn't take a lot of hits. Like, he's one of those savvy quarterbacks that, you know, he's going to take a hit every now and then, but he's going to get rid of the football. He's not going to run all of those things. So I don't know how he would run out of gas. If I had to pick between the two of which is more sustainable, I'd probably go to the guy who takes less hits, even though he's older, and say Rodgers over Fields. But Rodgers' age has to be considered.
For sure.
Has to be considered. Broncos, to me, my overreaction, I know that they won. This isn't one of the best 7 teams in the AFC. They might not be one of the best 10 teams in the AFC. They look pedestrian. Yeah, Titans have an underrated defense and all that. But you're going up against a rookie quarterback. That game was tight. It was a one-possession game the entire game. Bo Nix did not look good whatsoever. And look, I had this as an offseason thought as well. But the team that won that I was most disappointed in, the Broncos. And to me, it kind of helps out my point that I think that they're overrated from the very beginning.
I like this one, too. I was not a believer in Bo Nix in college last year. I
mean, you're not a Bo-liever?
I'm not a Bo-liever. I was not a Bo-liever in college.
That's a dated wrestling reference at this point.
You don't believe?
Very dated at this point. And last year, he turned it on at the end, and Sean Payton is a quarterback whisperer. But part of it's just the amount of hype that he's gotten about, like, oh, he can be Drew Brees for Sean Payton. I'm like, okay. I hate
those lazy takes.
Yeah. Because they're short.
They're so lazy.
They're short.
Well, it's just because, well, this guy was good in this system, so he's that guy in this in the new system. Like, no, he's a completely different player.
Yeah. What do you got, Brian?
This might be way too overreactionary, but this is what this segment's about. I think the Chiefs are going to be playing a road playoff game in the wild card round. I don't think they're winning the AFC West.
Who do you think's winning?
Chargers.
Chargers did look good.
They did look very
and
good.
This isn't just, you know, I think a lot of people are rushing to crown the Chargers. And the Chargers may be really good. So, I mean, I do believe in Harbaugh. So that's definitely part of it. We know Herbert's got it in him. He's had a 5,000 passing yard season. He set the rookie record for passing touchdowns. So that part wouldn't be surprising. But to me, this is more of kind of the slow decline of the Chiefs that may have sped up the decline this year. Like, the defense is getting older. They've lost pieces. Obviously, they lost, what was it, Jarius Sneed a couple of years ago to the Titans, the cornerback. Kelsey's getting older. Obviously, the wide receiver health is now in question with Xavier Worthy getting banged up. Like, I think the Chiefs could take a step back. Still make the playoffs, but I think they're going to be on the road and not win the division.
I think the only team that could win the division other than the Chiefs, though, are the Chargers.
Probably so.
Like, I don't think I like the Raiders. I don't think that the Raiders can win the division. And, of course, you just heard what I said about the Broncos. But the Chargers look really good in that Brazil game. I went back and watched it. They got some juice on offense, man. Like, yeah. They got three legit
Keenan
receivers.
Allen still got it.
They didn't even play Trey Harris.
I know.
Who they drafted in the early rounds. They have two solid running backs. One that has a chance to be really good. Good offensive line play, because that's what Harbaugh believes in. Good defense.
Joe Alt is. They nailed that pick. He's good.
And look, Slater even got hurt. Yeah. And they're still a good on the offensive line. I think that I undersold the Chargers being a legit threat. I still don't think they're a legit threat in the AFC, but I do think they're a legit threat to dethrone the Chiefs dynasty in the AFC West.
I think the Broncos will be okay. I think they're overrated, but I think they'll be okay. I'm really excited for Monday night's game after the Texans, the second part of the doubleheader.
Same.
Raiders-Chargers is really interesting to me. The Raiders looked really good in their game, too. We'll see what that means for the Patriots, if maybe we overvalued the Patriots in the offseason because of their schedule.
Probably.
But the AFC West, it finally feels like for the first time it's wide open. I really feel like the Chiefs are really just in a very comparable spot with where the Houston Astros are at right now.
I don't love the Bowers news, though. Like, if Bowers is going to be out for a couple of weeks, I think that obviously
is
that hurts
saying?
Them. Yeah, saying like PCL strain. I've seen like some
it
of the online
like they
doctors.
They thought he came out of it better than expected. They have him listed as questionable for whatever that's worth, but I don't think it's a long-term major. I think he's back before Kittle.
And
I'll say that.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Kittle got IR'd.
I'm going to show my Notre Dame bias here a little bit. But
we always know you're going to do that, Joe.
I loved Michael Mayer coming out of college.
So does Chip Kelly.
I thought it was crazy when they took Bowers, because I was like, they already have their tight end. And then last week we saw them. He was out snapping Brock Bowers for a majority of the game.
Yeah, but Bowers got way more targets.
He did.
It's clear that Chip Kelly doesn't love Bowers as a blocker.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to play him like, okay, we're going to in certain sets where everybody knows to throw in the football.
It's a wide receiver, basically.
I think they're going to – yeah, he's definitely that. Like, he's probably a wide receiver with a tight end label, and I think that's why you saw that. I don't know if they really trust Mayer as much as, like, a huge receiving threat, because Bowers still got, like, double-digit targets, even though he was being out-snapped by Mayer. Like, when he was on the field, they were throwing his way. But how long is he going to be out? One thing that I do like that they're doing about the Monday night game, remember when they used to do the stupid doubleheader start 30 minutes apart?
I think there still is one of those on the schedule this year.
That's so dumb. It's not Monday, because Monday the Texans play at 6, which don't love that. But then Chargers and Raiders play at 9. So, like, it's a true Monday night doubleheader. If you're going to have a Monday night doubleheader, which I don't love, actually, I like the standalone one single Monday night game. If you're going to do it, start them 3 hours apart, please.
Yeah, on the 29th, they're an hour apart.
That's
now.
So dumb. Why do they do that?
Jets, Dolphins at 6:15. Bengals, Broncos at 7:15.
Yeah, why but
I
don't. Do that?
I hate that the Texans got the back end of the doubleheader later on in the season.
I prefer it.
Yeah, but 9 o'clock at night.
I prefer it.
I prefer Seattle. 9 o'clock over 6 o'clock. Like, I mean,
same.
On a normal day for us, we get off at 6. what are we gonna do?
I'm gonna listen to rock and roll on the way home.
I'm going to the game, so I'm taking vacation next Monday.
You're taking vacation to go to the game?
I have a new schedule. I don't want to cancel my vacation days.
That is.
I can't say anything because I'm also off Monday.
Yeah, Brian's also off.
Jeremy's by himself.
Alex says 2 TVs. Yeah, but I mean, 2 TVs, it's great, obviously. But to watch two NFL games that you're trying to watch with two TVs is a little bit more challenging. Because I like to hear the broadcast. I like to hear what's going on. I like to watch each play. Mm-hmm. Like I like to focus in on one game. I think I'm in the minority when it comes to that in this red zone life that we live in, red zone society. I'm kind of a one game at a time kind of viewer. I'll have the second monitor. I'll have the third monitor. I have red zone up all the time. But I like to isolate on one game and really break it down like I know ball.
You're a one game man.
I'm a one game man.
You believe in football game polygamy.
I absolutely.
What do you do during, like? Is it only football?
When what?
Does this apply to March Madness?
Well, he's usually working.
Usually working,
only
but there's
one day.
Yeah, well, 2 days. Well, a lot of days.
Well, like what the first day of the 2 days?
No, I watch. Yeah, I focus in on one game, and I'll have a secondary game, and then when the other game gets tied and closer and becomes more of an intriguing game, then I'll flip it over. Mm. Like, there's always the primary. Even when you have two televisions, there's a primary. You have a primary viewing. You're gonna have multiple viewing, you know, options, but you have the primary that you're focused in on, that you're lasered in on. Absolutely.
I mean, I think the Texans being like, for this one, the Texans being on it changes thing. But if it was where they split it by an hour with two games that with teams that I'm not.
What week is that?
Like week, I think it was like week five.
All right, let me look. Let me see what our options are here. Let's talk about this. Not week five. Let's see. Week four. Week four, the Jets and Dolphins play at 6:15. Bengals and Broncos play at 7:15.
I don't mind that.
I don't like it.
I'm watching Bengals Broncos.
Yeah, because, like, which one? You're going to have one of those is going to be your primary. You're going to have one of them that's your focus.
But it gives you the option to bail if one of the games sucks. Like, yeah. if it's one game at a time and the game sucks, you're stuck.
Yeah, you're casual. You don't watch every snap of a blowout. What's wrong with you?
Week six, you got a game's an hour apart. Bills, Falcons, and then an hour later, Bears, Commanders.
That's way better than the 30 minutes. I will concede that. Like, last year, I think all of their doubleheaders were 30 minutes apart. And it's like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? I also have a scheduling take. I think that they should go to the March Madness scheduling. I don't think we should have the 12 window, the 3:15 window. I think we should kick off at either 11 or 12 a.m., and I think you should have all of the games kick off in 30-minute increments. Like, why do you have a big patch of games starting at the same time? It makes no sense. College basketball used to do this with March Madness, and they went away from it. Why? Because all of the buzzer beaters were happening at the same time. Why do we do this in the NFL? It's antiquated. Yeah, I don't like it.
How did you feel? What if they did a window? So eventually, right, there's going to be a game overseas every week, right, at some point. So you have a 9 a.m. game, an 11, like a 2,
yeah,
a 5, then like a 9 o'clock.
Like multiple games in those windows?
Yeah, you put like
three or four?
Yeah, you put like chunks of games in each window outside of the first one.
I think it's better than what they do now, but I'd rather go with my idea because my idea is superior.
If we have multiple games going on, I like to have them all at once or like nothing. Like the weeks with like red zone where there's three games at 3:25. Yeah.
It's not a good red zone viewing play.
Or there's like two games.
That's why you lock in on one game.
Yeah.
You lock in on the game that you want to watch the most. You know what I watched whenever I was falling asleep last night? Condensed game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Atlanta Falcons. Mm. Watch that bad boy. Watch that sucker.
I like red zone for the secondary screen most of the time.
Same.
I went main screen this week because it was like first week of football. I want to kind of see everything that's going on. But typically red zone's typically even my computer. Do red zone on my computer.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
I do too. 713, what were you going to say, Brian? No,
unless
I can tell that
unless the Texans are on, I'm red zone. Like, like in the 3 o'clock window, obviously, this last week, it was Texans.
You're not
only
a purist. I can tell.
No, I'm not. Give me red zone.
He's a fantasy purist.
Yeah, yes, he's not a purist. 100%.
That's why I watch all these games, because of my
fantasy
prowess.
Fantasy football is my religion.
Damn straight.
Who said that?
I forget the character's name, but it's from the show The League.
Oh, that's right.
On FX.
Yeah. That's a good show. 713-780-3776.
Collusion!
Yeah, same character.
Let's go out to the HRP listener lineup. What are your hot takes? What are your overreactions after 1 week of the NFL season? Travis, what's up?
Hey, guys. Man, there was an article about Pittsburgh trying to go after Tyreek Hill. I know his salary is high for us, but, I mean, hell, I'd give away Christy Kirk and even Noel in the fourth round that they're wanting to get Tyreek Hill. You have him and Collins, that's like Peyton Manning having Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison. You know, they never compare CJ to Manning, but, you know, two great receivers, split them out. I'd love that.
Appreciate the call, Travis.
I would pass on Tyreek Hill. unless it's a late draft pick. I don't have
how any. Late?
Sixth? Fifth? I'd go to a fifth. If it's a swap. Give me a fifth.
I just don't want Tyreek the person in Houston, to be honest.
I also don't think this is all on Tua's. It's not all on Tua. Like wide receivers, they fall off cliffs too. Bill O'Brien was right about Andre Johnson. Like, it's Tyreek. I think he's met his cliff. So I would pass on Tyreek
Hill. I am not at all interested in Tyreek Hill. He passed his prime. Would he help you on the field? Probably. I rather lose without Tyreek Hill than win with him.
Same.
I think that dude is one of the worst people in the world.
And if the Dolphins are going to blow it up, because they need to, dramatically, call about Waddle, if anything.
But if they're blowing it up, I mean, that's one of the young pieces they like. I don't think they're moving him.
Yeah, he means expensive, though. Like, it depends on how big the blow up.
Yeah, and if they do move him, then instead of talking about a fifth or a sixth, we might be talking about a second or a third.
I'm okay with that. I mean, what is Quinn Ewers to Jalen Waddle going to do for you?
Quinn Ewers says they're going to be playing.
Like,
I hope he has an extra year of eligibility, for being honest.
Well, you want to go back? God, you're such an arch hater. It's incredible. But yeah, I would pass on Tyreek.
713-780-3776. What are your overreactions in the NFL after 1 week? 713-780-3776. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We got a big one in about 50 hours or so. Houston and Colorado in the Big 12 opener at TDECU Stadium. I'm talking like Gus Johnson here a little bit, but you're not going to want to miss it. Fantastic football game. There's going to be a bunch of people there. It is trending towards a sellout, so you need to act fast. UHCougars.com/tickets, 713-GO-COUGS to get those tickets today. Houston off to a 2-0 start as they welcome in Colorado. Don't miss it. Don't miss a great Hispanic Heritage halftime show, too. The Spirit of Houston performing songs from Selena and the U of H Mariachi Pumas will take the field for a special performance. So don't miss it. Get ready for a night of thrilling plays, of hard-hitting action, of unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, the pageantry, the roar of the crowd like a Houston Cougar football game. Tailgating starts at 3:30. Cougs on parade at 5:20. It's Houston. It's Colorado. It's Big 12 opener and what's going to be a packed house at TDECU Stadium. Get those tickets at UHCougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're back with Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
inside of the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jeremy, Joe, ESPN 97.5. You're being taken to task about your take on Caleb Johnson.
It's one game.
He's getting out carried by Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell.
Yeah, to be honest with you,
Kenny Gainwell, not a good look.
Not a good look.
I'm a little surprised. I thought he was going to win the job from day one.
Isn't that just Arthur being Arthur? We had like a play for years of Falcons players being underused, about Bijan losing carries, about Kyle Pitts not being used, even though that one was right by Arthur.
Pitts looked pretty good last week.
He did.
I watched that game last night.
Kyle Pitts is back. Or
he's playing with a little bit of an attitude. He's playing mean. He looked pretty good.
Let's see him do it for more than 1 week before I buy it. He's burned me too many times.
He looked pretty good. Bijan had a couple drops in that game, too. It's kind of weird from him.
But yeah, I'll wear the Caleb Johnson one for a week, I guess.
Pete, L.A. Rams are Super Bowl contender. Overreaction. They don't look like an NFC contender against Houston. I thought the Rams looked pretty good. I thought they looked pretty good in that game. Their defense looked really good. Maybe that's the point, though. Have 2+ TVs in your living room, you filthy casuals. Red Zone was made for fantasy guys. Mm-hmm. Probably. A lot of people were mad that they had the commercials on them. I hardly noticed them.
That was such an overreaction.
It is the biggest NFL overreaction of the week.
Joe and I, we have someone in our fantasy league that, like, went all Karen and got real performative on social media about it. And part of my pushback on him, and we found this out later from Schefter, But the like the cancel red zone thing was literally over one total minute of commercials spread out with four spots over 7 hours, and none in the witching hour.
And they timed it the right way. They
double boxed.
So like they had one game going. They double boxed it so like you weren't missing anything. No one was in the red zone. The producers did a good job. It is now. Are they trying to open us up to having commercials during red zone? Probably, but also not a big deal.
No, that's the counterpoint. It's like, oh, well, they're opening up Pandora's box. So soon they're going to be all commercials. We'll see. Texans game at 6 on a Monday. Half the stadium will be empty until halftime. Probably guaranteed. So. They're also alluding to the fact on Twitter, they've subtly, maybe not so subtly, have kind of alluded to this twice now. Looks like they want the roof to be open on Monday. They're flexing. They got a new roof there at NRG.
Guys, let's
do it.
Okay.
They want a new one.
Gorgeous outside.
I think that's an overreaction. I could not care less if the roof is open or closed. Not care less. In fact, there most days I would like for it to be closed.
So it's louder?
It does feel pretty good outside right now.
Because it's hot.
Yeah, but
it's not now.
It's nice outside.
Today's not Monday.
Fair. I mean, in factual, today's Wednesday, not
we're
Monday.
A few days away from that.
But like,
it's going to be 98 degrees probably.
If it was today, we would be fine.
It says high of 89.
But it's not today. It's not today.
Okay.
Most games that the Texans are at home, it's way too hot for my comfort for the roof to be open.
Okay, what's your high? What's your temp high for open the roof?
78 degrees.
Anything
that starts with an 8 or above should not be considered. If it's 80 degrees, you're in a bowl, maybe the sun's in your face. It's got to be in the 70s. It's got to be in the 70s. And it can be as low as 50.
I'm with you on that part.
50 to 79 degrees.
I'd go a little bit higher on the high end, but I'm with you at 50.
Yeah.
I think that these soft teams, including the Bears, should have to keep the roof open when it snows. The Bears, the Bengals, the Browns. The Bengals may not be against them, but the Broncos, the Bears, the Browns. They're getting these new stadiums with roofs. Football's meant to
play outdoors. At least the Bills are doing it right.
Yeah. Now, see, the Bills should have one because they've had games get canceled or pushed back
because
of the snow. Like, there should be a certain level of acceptable snow in those cities before you close the roof.
Here.
I agree. I know.
A lot of parade. I think they should just dome every NFL stadium. Never have to worry about a game being suspended.
Boring. Play outside.
Canceled. Boring. Never have to worry about it. It's not boring. It's comfortable is what it is.
We're doing the Cupid Shuffle at halftime on Monday. That's all I know because Cupid is performing.
What?
The Cupid is performing at halftime on Monday night.
What is Cupid?
The Cupid Shuffle.
Why are you bringing that up?
It's a fact. He's doing it halftime at the Texans game on Monday.
Oh, is he?
It was just announced.
Oh. Okay.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Same with Booker T. He's going to be there, too.
Okay, that was newsworthy. I could have done without the Cupid announcement.
That bum is going to be there? Do they want people to go or not?
He was at the Easter party.
I know. He stayed far away from me. Did you notice that?
He wanted
nothing to do with Branham that night.
Oh, yeah?
Wanted nothing to do with Branham. Yeah. He made sure he's on the other side of the room, wouldn't look in my direction. He was trembling in his boots. He was trembling in his Harlem Heat boots, Booker T. Five-time coward is what he is, old Booker T.
I can't wait for one day the door to swing open, Booker T boxes.
He's going
to
powerbomb me through this table. I can't take a bump either. Brewers lost to the Rangers. Rangers won a baseball game. They swept the best team in baseball. The Astros' cushion on a playoff spot is 2 games, and the Rangers own the tiebreaker against you. I recant what I said yesterday, by the way, that the Astros are more likely to win the World Series than miss the playoffs. I recant. Strike that from the record. I am on the opposite side of that now. I've changed my mind. I think it is much more likely they miss the playoffs than win the World Series.
Yeah, I mean, saying that and then having a game in which your starting pitcher leaves early, your closer gives up a blown save. Altuve has a terrible base running mistake. It's hard to stick to that take.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you have that one back.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Normally, I'm not, but I'm going to let you have that one go.
Branham is 100% the softest dude on ESPN. Please. I played a basketball game with a broken wrist. Did you know that?
Nope.
I went back in. I took a charge. I fell on my wrist. I went back into the game. I played with a broken wrist. I shot a three. It landed at the free throw line, and I checked myself out of the game. I played an entire baseball season with a broken thumb. The bone chip in my thumb.
The season that you got five at-bats?
I am the toughest dude on ESPN. No, I didn't play that year. No, that was the following year. Once I recovered.
I love that
once
your example was I said, took one these... shot, checked myself out, and it was also a
no,
season
the,
I didn't
the next
play.
Year, once I was healthy, I hit 400 and got a base hit off Jay Bruce.
Mm. When did all this happen? 15, 20, 35 years ago?
I broke my wrist in middle school basketball. Okay. B team. And
good clarification.
But it was an humble. Like we had athletes, man. We had athletes for days. And the broken thumb was... I can't remember if it was sophomore or junior year of high school.
It's only like 25 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, famously played through a bunch of injuries, sprained ankle. I am as tough as it gets. By that logic, they should have to play in a hurricane. That's talking to you.
No.
Feels better inside an NRG than inside the icebox, says the guy that is inside 90% of the day. Hey, I mowed yesterday. I mowed the grass yesterday. 713-780-ESPN. The Ravens made a brutal mistake on fourth down Sunday night. I don't really remember that play. Do you remember that play? He's from ESPN's. It was fourth and two. Baltimore had it at their own 39.
Whether they should have gone for it?
Yeah. The recommendation was they should have gone for it from a cowboy guy, computer cowboy or whatever.
I'm fine with that. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. You can seal the game if you get that fourth and two, but Harbaugh is known for blowing double-digit leads at this point. So
famously. There are concerns about the Lions' offense.
They looked really bad. I mean, the Packers' defense looks much better. The Lions, I'm really curious what this next coming week will look like. But without Ben Johnson, it's the worst it's looked since he got there, basically.
Yeah, I'm a little worried. Ben Johnson just might be a mastermind and they can't overcome. And the offensive coordinator they hired is like very mediocre in his NFL resume. There should be excitement about the Bengals' defense.
No.
They're playing the Browns.
They played Joe Flacco.
Is Flacco a Hall of Famer?
No.
Yeah.
What?
Unfortunately.
He's a Hall of Famer? Are you guys serious?
Eli's getting in at 500, man. Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but Flacco's got one ring. Eli's got two. That's completely different.
Flacco has way better numbers, though, doesn't he? He's like 46,000. Yeah, but that matters for the Hall of Fame.
So did Eli. So did Philip Rivers.
Like, I don't think Rivers is getting in.
No, I don't think Philip Rivers is getting in either, but I think Joe Flacco.
I'd put Rivers in over Flacco.
I agree. I would put Rivers in ahead of Eli also.
But... Eli has more. Eli got up to 57,000 yards. Flacco's at 46,000. I don't think it's a slam dunk for sure, but...
Flacco's not getting in.
I hope that
one playoff stretch, like he's been... I mean, we had the joke for years about him being elite because he was so mid.
Elite players make the Hall of Fame.
He was elite that one playoff run. If it were me just going off like my dome, like do I think he's a Hall of Famer? I do not think he's a Hall of Famer. The numbers might be good enough that he eventually gets in. I don't think we should be glorifying what the Bengals did defensively in that game.
No, but we should see. I wonder when for the Hall of Fame when we'll see the goalposts be moved correctly. Because
right.
The numbers are, everyone, if you look at numbers, is a Hall of Famer. But at some point, there has to be a correction to the mean. Because I think even the other way for like running backs are not, their numbers are not going to replicate what Hall of Famers should be.
Mm-hmm.
But then if that's the case, then only Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry are going to the Hall of Fame.
Right. Same in like the opposite. Kind of similar with the quarterbacks and the receivers. Like the receivers' numbers are insane. Like, there's going to be some receivers who aren't Hall of Fame worthy that are like top 10 in receiving yards. Mm-hmm. And then you see that with quarterbacks now. The Jets can run the ball. That overreaction real?
Not at all.
I think it's real.
It was great. I mean, Breece Hall was getting 12, 13 yards a pop in that game.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that was a lot of offense. Commanders' run game is good.
We'll see.
They love this Bill kid. They're big fans of Bill.
I think a lot of people love the Bill kid.
I think I'm out.
I like the Bill kid.
You're out on Bill?
Yeah, I think I'm out on Bill.
Why?
It's not his name. It's stupid.
Well, people have nicknames.
They call him Bill because of a TV show you watched.
You think Woody Marks' real name is Woody?
I don't like it.
You think CJ's real name is CJ?
Is Tank Dell actually named Tank?
But Tank, there's a reason behind it.
Because he had a big head as a baby.
Yeah, this kid watched a TV show and they're like, call me Bill.
That's how nicknames happen.
You're not Bill anymore.
This is a weird take.
Yep, I don't care.
You're out on Bill.
I'm out on Bill.
So weird, Joe.
His name's not Bill.
Okay.
And why did it? And why did it take you? Why did it take you so long? See, no, but Tank's always been Tank Dell
as a baby.
He was Tank Dell at U of H. He was Tank Dell in high school. Why is this guy just going by Bill now?
He probably never felt like he had
not,
the.
To be fair, he's not going by Bill. We're just calling him Bill.
He said, "Call me Bill."
He did say, "Call me Bill."
Oh, okay, I missed that one.
Kind of like you can call me Al. Dun,
dun, dun, dun. I think it's weird.
Colts have one of the league's best offenses.
No chance.
I think they have a shot.
Really?
Yeah.
With Indiana Jones at quarterback?
Shane Steichen can coach the offensive side of the ball. Daniel Jones is so much better than Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
So much better. And their weapons are legit, man. Jonathan Taylor's a top 3-5 running back. Pittman is a stud. Downs is solid. Alec Pierce is fine.
Warren
AD
looks awesome.
Mitchell's okay. And Tyler Warren looks like the new Brock Bowers. Their weapons are insane.
You didn't even mention
And they
DJ
have a good
Giddens.
Offensive line.
DJ Giddens is their good backup. As the backup. Yeah.
Like that, they're loaded offensively. Minus quarterback.
I
but is he good enough with Steichen to be good offensively? The league's best is obviously way too strong, but I think they could be top 10-ish.
Could they be best in the South?
Yes.
Yes.
We can't dismiss,
although Jacksonville.
We can't dismiss, though, that they're playing the Dolphins.
Can't dismiss.
The Dolphins might be the worst team in football.
Might be.
I don't think that's an overreaction at all. I think the bottom is going to be the Dolphins, the Saints, and the Panthers, and I think it's going to end up being the Dolphins with the first pick.
That would be nuts.
Because they're going to collapse on themselves. Unless Anthony Weaver, when he takes over with Quinn Ewers at some point this season.
Quinn's not going to save him. I love Quinn, but he's not going to save him.
Like, Anthony Weaver's going to be the head coach of the Dolphins in like 8 weeks.
Here's this text, 5171. It's time we started to realize that C.J. Stroud is an average quarterback in the league. Can we buy that? Can we buy it? Let's respond. 713-780-ESPN. Is it time we start to realize that C.J. Stroud is an average quarterback in the league? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Texters ask, is it time we started to realize that C.J. Stroud is an average quarterback in the league?
Shut up, Stroud!
Twitch, Rhino saying low S2 score. We're not going to do that. We're not going to question a man's intelligence. Sunshine, C.J.'s average, and that guy Kinger told you 2 years ago. We're not going to do that. Virginia, CJ is so dumb, he thinks that the sophomore slump will last 3 years. We're not doing that. Wrong show. We're not reading that crap. 713-780-3776. We're not going to do it. CJ's overrated. See, we'll do that. Like, you have an opinion. That's fine. You have an opinion. We're not going to question CJ Stroud's intelligence. Ocho, I don't know if Stroud is average, but watching him struggle behind a bad O-line really lets me appreciate how great Burrow is behind a bad O-line. What's Burrow's secret to success? The elevator ride that he had once upon a time in Northern Kentucky. To that texter's question, though, is it time we started to realize CJ's an average quarterback in the league? What do you say to that?
I think it's still too early for that. I mean, I have my concerns about CJ Stroud, but at this point, I want to see how this season plays out. And even being average, what does average mean, right? Like, you look at the quarterbacks in the Mike Sando power rankings or your guys' top 10 rankings you did. He's near Baker Mayfield. He's near Jared Goff. Those guys aren't considered great quarterbacks. Like, there is a huge drop-off between, like, the 14th or 15th guy and the rest of the league. I think he's firmly in that category.
That's average.
I think he's getting really far away at this point from the top. Daniels, Burrow, Allen, Jackson.
See, I think he's closer to 15 than he is 5.
I think that is the worry. Like, I think when you put the label average on him, it comes off as a negative. But if you really break it down to what you just said, is he closer to 15 and 5? I think that really makes the point, because I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I still think he's capable of making players better like he did in his rookie year. But I've had a harder time making the case that he can catch those top 5 guys. And it feels like he's firmly planted kind of like in the Jared Goff round, which, I mean, to bring it around to his when he was drafted, that was Lance's draft comp for him, was Jared Goff. And it kind of feels like it's, you know, Jared Goff with a little more wheels.
The CBS, I've seen a few quarterback rankings, like they do the stock report quarterbacks. I've seen a few of those, one from The Athletic. I can't find it really quick. There's one from CBS I'm looking at here. There was week one quarterback rating, and they're all like in the 12 to 18 range when it comes to Stroud. This one from CBS has CJ Stroud, and look, this depends on his, you know, there's a lot of value here to his week one performance. They have him 18th. And there's not a lot of guys that I'm willing to put Stroud over here. Like, is he better than Nix? I would argue that he is. They have Nix at 17. Is he better than Fields? Like, Fields looked really good in week one, where Stroud looked meh, but I would put him over ahead of Fields. I think Stroud's a better quarterback than Fields.
Agreed.
Would I have him ahead of Rodgers, who's 15th? Rodgers looked really good. He looked really good.
It's kind of like a back of the baseball card argument if you're trying to.
I would put more faith in Stroud weeks two through the rest of the year than Rodgers. Mm-hmm. So that's three for me. Purdy's hurt, so I'll even jump him over Purdy. Is he better than Geno? Geno threw for like 380.
I would say no. I think Geno, I've been really hesitant to move in higher up these lists, but through one game, overreaction, maybe it's not. I think he deserves a little more credit than he's gotten.
Maybe we can go half there, like a 4.5 now. Jared Goff, Stroud better than Goff. Goff didn't look great last week either.
No, I almost like give Stroud the benefit here because it's like as soon as Ben Johnson leaves, it looks like Sean McVay, Jared Goff again.
So he's a benefit of a great play caller?
Yeah.
Okay, 5.5. Burrow.
Oh, definitely not.
Dak.
I take Dak.
I think Dak looked better up until the rain delay.
Winning a football game tomorrow, I'm going Dak. Mm-hmm. Baker. This one I'm a little torn on. I think Baker's going to turn some balls over. Like, Baker's going to he's a little bit of a gunslinger. Like, he's going to throw some picks. I don't love turnovers from my quarterbacks. I would actually go Stroud over Baker.
Who had more interceptions last year? I mean, Stroud's jumped up to 12.
How many did Baker have last year? I don't know off the top of my head.
I'll look it up.
I'm just talking about from what I watch on film, Brian. He slings it around. Dangerous passes all the time.
Sounds like you're posturing again.
I am, definitely.
I kind of want CJ to do a little more of that.
Be a little bit more gunslinger.
Yeah, he threw 16 picks, Baker Mayfield did last year. He threw 41 touchdowns.
He's a gunslinger, man. He'll throw some picks.
Yeah,
12-16, I don't see a massive gap to get worried about there.
Yeah,
I would take the upside of 41 touchdowns and live with 4 extra interceptions.
Mm-hmm. I want
CJ. A lot of that's a product of the offense, though.
I know, but I want CJ to have a little more.
Oh, I agree.
Favre in him. Like,
I don't want to go full Favre. Never go
not full
Favre.
I'm a little more Rodgers.
Never
Rodgers, would put the ball in risky spots and try to make dangerous throws. And CJ's just played too conservative.
For sure. I think he's a little in his head because they don't want turnovers. Is he better Stafford?
No.
Mahomes?
No.
Jaden Daniels?
Nope.
Jordan Love?
Nope.
Justin Herbert?
Nope.
Jalen Hurts?
Nope.
Lamar Jackson?
Nope.
Josh Allen?
Nope.
So where were we? Somewhere between 4 and 6. That gets him in the 12-14 range.
That feels right.
There's 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. We're saying that as starting quarterbacks, he's slightly above average, and how could you argue otherwise?
There's not.
How could you argue otherwise? He's closer to 15 than he might be 10, depending on who you ask. 713-780-3776. I have a feeling I know where Israel's going on this one. Israel, you're in with the Jays. What's up?
Yeah, absolutely. CJ is in his first year he comes out. He does his thing. He wins his division. Second year, he wins his division. In his third year, y'all comparing the guys who've been in the league. At this point, you compare their first 2 years. All the ones y'all
That's not what we're doing. You're moving the goalposts.
I didn't say that's what y'all are doing. I said you can't go back and compare their first 2 years.
That's moving the goalposts. We're not comparing the two years. We're talking about today, their current lot in life.
Let's talk about today. Okay. That's one game. He had a chance to win that game after running back didn't drop the ball. It wasn't his fault. It was in a tight game against a good defense, and he was doing his thing. And should have had an opportunity to win the game. And the Texans are happy with him and DeMeco because before then, they doing the job that they got them to do. Right now, they're not ready for either the Ravens, Buffalo, or the Chiefs. But they're going in the right direction. Right now, the Texans are very happy, and he has earned the top dollar, the match that he's going to get. Y'all can hate all day, but in that office, they are supremely happy with him. And like DeMeco said, hey, that's the special sports. He knows that when they win, you know, everybody going to act like they won in the Super Bowl. Yeah. And they lose a game, that's how y'all going to react. So it's all good. CJ, keep winning while Joe lose. Don't make the playoffs 3 years. And y'all talk about he threw for 10,000 yards. He's a loser. I ain't talking about 5 years
no
ago.
No one's.
CJ's been in the league, he ain't made the playoffs. Make the playoffs, Joe. He's a goofy.
All right. Appreciate you, Israel.
Yeah, so happy they fired their offensive coordinator because of how bad the offense was last year.
Nothing he said.
Can you pick another white quarterback next time?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to keep doing it, can you stop using Joe Burrow?
Nothing he said pertained to the conversation. Like, no. Yes, the Texans are happy with CJ. Yes, they're going to pay CJ.
Because he's
yes.
an insider and he's had conversations with DeMeco and Caserio?
Yes, the arrow is pointing up. Like, we're happy with CJ Stroud, too. But the reality of the situation is that he's closer to 15-5. And you, Israel, never said where he is relative to these other quarterbacks. Yes, he was on the brink of a comeback victory. Also lost the game to Stafford. Like, are we going to put Stafford higher than Stroud for winning the game that you're talking about? Like, and look, I think a lot of times the quarterback position is the product of the offense. Sure. And I think that that's hurting C.J. Stroud in this case because what's around him ain't great. Offensive line is abysmal. Skill position players, eh. Nick Chubb is the best you got at running back. Nico Collins is playing. Like, I love Nico Collins. Nothing bad about Nico Collins. But Justin Watson's getting more snaps than your second and your third rounder. And I think that all comes back to the quarterback. It's this big algorithm, quarterback play, offensive line play, skill guys, defense. And then it's the, you know, the solution is the quarterback position and the production you're getting from that position. And a lot of times the quarterback gets too much credit. They get too much blame. Mm-hmm. And Stroud right now is a victim to what is around him, but it is the reality of the situation that he's outside of the top 10.
Yeah, I think the CJ stuff's gotten a little out of control a little bit. I mean, I think it's okay to say he's average. It's okay to say he's not top 10. There's nothing wrong with that. No one's saying he's a bust or the Texans picked the wrong guy or anything like that. He's just because if you ask CJ, I would imagine he would tell you he wishes he's also playing better, that he can play better than when he's out there. He set the standard. That's why it feels like he's average right now.
And here, go ahead, Brian.
And also, like, one of Israel's big points was there. Well, you know, it was Dare's fault. Like, they lost the game because of Dare. Like, CJ did his job, but Dare cost them the game. They had scored 9 points at that point. Look, I'm not saying CJ Stroud is, you know, a bad player or anything. I'm not making an indictment on CJ Stroud right now because he obviously had a lot of limiting factors like his offensive line and skill and lack of skill players. But if you're going to paint the picture, CJ Stroud did enough to win the game, but Dare fumbled it away, then you have to also talk about why they only had 9 points before Dare fumbled it away.
Yeah, you got to talk about the first 55 minutes, for sure. 713-780-3776. I really didn't want to have the Stroud conversation today because I feel like a lot of Stroud's production is not his fault. And the one thing that I would point to, some evidence that backs that up, 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You know who could help the pro football team here in Houston? Mike Holly could. He could play any of those offensive line positions. He's a big guy. He used to protect the Heisman Trophy winner, and now he wants to protect your business. U of H class of 1990, by the way, go Cougs, has been protecting the interests of businesses for 25 years now. HRP provides comprehensive human capital management services, including HR compliance, benefits administration, and payroll. HRP is going to work with you to customize a plan for whatever you need. There's nothing cookie cutter about HRP. You need a little help, a lot of help, anything in between. HRP is going to create a plan for what you and your business needs. Their customer service, top notch. You'll never talk to a stranger on the other side of the line. You'll be calling someone that's familiar with you and familiar with your company. I can speak to that customer service anytime I have a question. Quick response, very easy to understand. Let HRP take on the demands of human resources. Eliminate your HR burdens so you can get back to growing your business. Give them a call at 281-880-6525. Let HRP customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or check them out online at HRP.net. That's HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Jeremy and Joe. ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Israel says CJ's a winner. Clowns. Clown emoji, to be specific.
Shut up, Stroud!
CJ's mom thought high C was his favorite drink, not his GPA. See, we're not doing that. 713-780-3776.
Good one, though.
Philip 68, I called Deshaun a bust before he busted. I was shunned. I'm calling CJ a bust. So Philip 68 says he's out on him. It's funny now, too, the dynamic of, like, the CJ Stroud conversation is like, look, I like Stroud. I think that things are going to be fine. They need to protect him. Blah, 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 blah. Totally understand that. But to not realize that there is some anti-Stroud discourse going on is head in the sand. Like, there are some people that are starting to sour a bit on C.J. Stroud. Maybe not many. Maybe it's a vocal minority. But ignoring it is, like, they have blinders on.
Yeah, there are, you know, people who are no longer giving him the benefit of the doubt. And I understand the argument of Houston Texans fans haven't really seen many great franchise quarterbacks, so maybe you don't know what you're missing. I feel the same way. But It's understandable that at this point people would be concerned that it hasn't gone to the next step. People thought he was going to be a top five quarterback in the NFL after his rookie season. He has not achieved that moment yet. So if he's not that, then at this point he's going to be a disappointment for a lot of people because he has not reached the standards that we all set for him. We were wrong, it seems, so far.
Yeah.
Maybe not permanently.
I think there's still time to do it. I think it can happen this year.
Exactly. Like, this could be – this conversation could flip by next Tuesday. If he goes out there and throws for 350 and four touchdowns and leads them down the field to, you know, beat the Buccaneers because the defense wasn't great, the conversation will flip. It's one game, but it's compounded with what happened last year.
I think you give him a better offensive line. He's top 10. See, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Mayfield's way above him. They're different. Mayfield's gunslinger, can put up numbers. I think Stroud is a better quarterback than Mayfield. I think Stroud gives you a better chance to win a game than Baker Mayfield does. Mayfield is a guy who I'd rather have in fantasy football because he's going to put up volume, he's going to put up numbers, but he's going to lose games for you. He's going to throw two picks a game a lot.
But Baker's also a great example of why, if there are people who are really out on Stroud, like, there should be a deep breath taken a little bit. Like, you look at what's happening with Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Geno Smith, Justin Fields. There are quarterbacks who are like, it's taking them some more time to fully reach their potential. And Baker Mayfield made the playoffs as a rookie in the NFL. He had a shoulder injury.
Yeah.
It got bad for a while. He got cut from the Panthers to play for the Rams 2 days later. And then now he's taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to the playoffs every year.
Like, it's kind of crazy.
It's his story is, of all of them, between Darnold, Geno, and Baker, I think his is the craziest.
Yeah, it is. It's nuts. CJ's good, but he's never had an above-average season. People misremember his rookie season is really good when it was just good for a rookie but average overall. See, that's not fair. He led the NFL in passing yards per game that year. Like, that's pretty special. Mm-hmm. And they went to the playoffs. Like, he led in his rookie season. He led his team to a 10-7 record that had won 11 games combined in the previous 3 years. And by the way, that season, he led the NFL in yards per game passing. That wasn't an average season for NFL standards. That was a good season. That's the pushback I would have on that. CJ's only average because the offensive line is average. See, that's where I'm going here. Like, the bigger problem isn't CJ. CJ's fine. You can win a lot of games with CJ, and they have. Yes, in a watered down division, in a poor division, can, you know, he win enough? Well, you know, time will tell that. The bigger issue is this offensive line. That's by far the bigger issue. The Texans are only going to go as far as that offensive line. And I was looking at the Pro Football Focus grades on this. Texans Jacob tweeted this out. The Texans offensive line graded out overall, well, this is actually overall offense, is a 31st in the NFL. Their pass blocking was 29th. Out of 32 teams this past Sunday. Their run blocking was 17th out of 32 teams on Sunday. If your pass blocking is 29th in the NFL, Stroud can be as great as he can be. It's never going to do anything. That's why I didn't really want to, like, step into the CJ Stroud waters today, because the offensive line is the way bigger issue. Stroud is not.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that is going to be the hardest to replace, to fix. They've been trying. I know this offseason, like this upcoming offseason, they'll have more money. They'll have draft capital. It should be a better offensive line draft class. But Nick Casario hasn't really shown, like, he can build an offensive line. Most of his guys haven't hit in the way that you would dream them to. I think we were asking a lot of Juice Scruggs and Patterson and things like that, but, like, they didn't want to play Blake Fisher. It's the number one problem for the Texans. It's not particularly close. Like we'll see if they can fix it through the season. But it doesn't have to get fixed here. I mean, it just has to be a little bit better. Just give him a little bit more time and see how much better it can look for the offense. That's all he needs. He needs that opportunity to not have to be so worried he's going to get crushed every single time he takes the ball.
Yeah. Where are you at on Stroud? 713-780-3776. The people, they want to discuss. They want to talk. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football is back. And Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. Playing on Underdog is so easy. It is so fun. It's my most used app. You already know that. I tell you all the time I'm in nearly 500 best ball leagues. Where do you think I did it? I did it at Underdog. That's why it's my favorite app. But you can pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and much, much more. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams now. That's right. You can pick whether or not your team will win or lose. You think the Astros win tonight? Go play on Underdog. You think they're going to lose? Go play on Underdog. Get your picks right. You can win up to 5,000 times your cash, and you can play with as little as $1. Astros are in Canada today. What do you think about these? Higher or lower? George Costanza, higher or lower, 3.5 strikes. Where are you at on that? How about Yordan, higher or lower than half a homer? How about a former friend, George Springer, higher or lower than half a homer? Also, a 40% profit boost on my picks today. That's because Underdog is nice. They're always taking care of their people. It's so much to do, so much fun to play, so much money to win. And also with Underdog, you have the originals, you have drafts, you have ladders, you have streaks. Those are awesome too. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions of dollars making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.